We dusted the cobwebs off our mics and we're sitting here at CBHI and finally recording an episode. I am so excited.
And we're here with Brandy McPhee, who, if you've been following along, you've probably seen her name at the top of the charts quite a few times. So we're super excited to talk to her here at the Futurity. I mean, usually we start off our episodes and just like ask a little bit about your background and stuff. So how did you get into like competitive barrel racing and the horse world?
So I started barrel racing when I was really little. My mom had, you know, her horse that she had as a kid, and I took him after that. I think she led me for a while, and then, you know, like on the lead line peewee stuff. And then after that, I just decided I wanted to go on my own. So I did Gymkhana and performance, like, because it was in the same weekend, the same day. My mom would walk me across the highway, and I would ride to the rodeo grounds by myself. So I was a little bit older when I started doing that, but I think I went to my first provincials when I was 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And yeah, like I'd have my little backpack on my road. I'd have my lunch and my splint boots and my Gymkhana bit and like just switch it out while I was there all day and
that's
come home.
Awesome.
And yeah, so that's kind of how I got started. My mom was really into horses. Her aunt got her into horses. Sylvia Shirley is my aunt. So she like progressed from there. And yeah, I kept taking my mom's horses. She had two. So I had two as they got older.
Yeah.
And then when I turned 15, I met my husband now. And they
really?
Had some horses. And he was like, well, my sisters aren't riding these horses and they're super nice. So if you want to ride them, I'm like, that one could be a barrel horse. So I started riding horses there and kind of stole those ones. Mm-hmm. And then from there, when we got married, when I was 18, we bought new horses. He sold my old ones and was like, okay, we're going to do this and get you some good horses. So,
yeah. Wow, you guys been together for a long time then, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys meet at a rodeo or?
No, actually, we found out later that we'd like been to a few horse events and hadn't really met.
Mm-hmm.
But we met, my grandma took me to church and she was like, you got to meet this guy. He's so great. Aww. And I was like,
so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that, yes, you're right, grandma.
His grandma
had to marry that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed to work out fairly well because you guys are both super handy. Like he starts colts, right?
And, yeah, he does.
And whatnot. And I know Steph was just absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
when she was trying Frenchman and she's just like, you guys gotta see this guy, he's so cool with horses,
he does tricks.
I lift my hand and he comes right to me, and like it was so cute. But yeah, she like, and I have heard nothing but great things about both you and your husband, so that's awesome you guys can have such a cohesive program together.
Yeah, like I mean it looks cohesive when it goes out to presentation. If you've been like at our house with us together, it's a disaster.
Oh, like, no.
I mean, we are like the perfect team, but we're both very strong-minded and have like our own opinions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a few people that have rode with us are like, oh boy, you guys are like back and forth, and we just like chirp nonstop at each other. But that's sort of how we build our program.
Yeah.
Build our horses. And
I feel that, like, because Cole rides and trains horses too, and riding with him literally is the hardest thing on our relationship. Like we have gotten into screaming matches at a public arena.
No.
yeah. One time my grandma and one time Brian's parents, they like came down to the barn. They were like, if you guys are gonna do that, you're gonna go home and do that. So I mean, we love each other and we always like forgive each other, and we try not to, you know, be personal about about the horses and what we fight about. But yeah, we definitely are super real. It's all out there. Everyone knows that that's how Brian and I are. We are hard on each other and we're hard on ourselves, but in the end, yeah, we always reconcile.
It makes incredible horses.
Yeah.
At least people know, okay, it's not all butterflies and rainbows.
No, not at all.
Yeah. It's hard.
Plus, we have 4 kids in there, so it's
no kidding.
You know, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, going into that, like, how do you balance having 4 kids, a family, riding and training horses?
And going to events.
Yeah, like, how do you do it?
So, first of all, I don't. I mean, it's also, like, right? The kids are running around, and we have been, like, our kids are really well behaved. We're very strict with them. We're very strict with our horses, and we're very strict with ourselves. So, I mean, things obviously unravel often, and we just go on with it. We just forgive each other, move on. I have a ton of help. My mother-in-law, she's home on the home front. She has the farm, and my father-in-law, and they have the horses there on their property. You guys were there and saw kind of how it rolls there. And my mom and grandma have always come with me when I had the kids as tiny babies. I was rodeoing and nursing my babies in the middle of the night, and then I'd like get them up before time only, nurse them again, and then leave them with my babysitters or whatever, go run my horses, come back. So yeah, I've always had like a super great support system. And I would never be able to do it without them.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need that when you have kids. I'm learning that. My mom comes everywhere with me. And yeah. Yeah. There's
Cindy's
no way I
the
could
MVP.
Without.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids get used to coming. Like, I always am like, the more you go, the better they get at it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we traveled to Manitoba with tiny babies, and I'd have, you know, one in the backpack and like carrying water buckets, leading a horse, one in the stroller, like... They got good at it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, even at the Kicking Cactus, I know one of your kids was just hanging out with us all day. And
Gracie.
Yeah, we're like, we haven't seen Brandy all day. But yeah, Gracie, she's hanging out with Rylan because I had my niece there too. Yeah, she was. I was like, well, this works. So it's just a big team.
Yeah,
at the barrel races. So
speaking of the Kicking Cactus, you absolutely killed it on 50 Shades of Purple. Can we hear more about that horse and then what's in your pen right now?
So 50 Shades of Purple is an amazing horse. Like I never thought he would be what he is. We got him as a three-year-old that was kind of a rebel. He wasn't conforming to the program that he had been started in. Allison, George, and James own him, and they brought him to us, and we're like, last chance. This is his last chance. He's bucking. He's being rotten. He's not working out, so do something with him. And Brian loves that. Like, he loves a challenge. He started him as a three-year-old. We got him back as a four-year-old, and I had time only to him like once or twice. And I was like, oh yeah, but I don't know. Like, he's pretty spooky. He's not super confident. But he's coming around and he's really liking the game. Like, he knows what we're doing. He's still kind of like shy, but, he's come up kind of through our program. And this year Allison sent him to us, not to run him necessarily, but just to kind of get another month of tune up on him. Brian took him to Claire's home and he smoked a run on him. And I was like, excuse me, I'd like to run that horse, please.
I want that horse back.
Yeah. So, and then that was it. Poor Brian, like, he gets these horses going so fast and so nice. And then I'm like, excuse me, it's my turn.
I waited in line for so long.
Yeah, exactly. I only, you know, I like to ride the colts, but mostly I like to run them. So like to go on after that.
That's awesome.
And you do have another like superstar horse that you've been running to, Highway 97.
Yeah.
Is that a client horse as well?
So Highway 97 kind of came to us. We were in Arizona for our first time last year, and we have the person that bought Guy last year, Guy Stormcloud. We made like an amazing friendship with them, and they were looking for another horse. So we said, like, we looked into Highway's papers quite a bit because we have quite a few of the Casanova Cowboy horses, and we'd always been looking for a filly from that mare. Mm-hmm. And then we knew that this guy was available. Colleen Duggan raised him, and she was like, this horse is too big for me. He's really strong. He's super handy, and he needs to go somewhere. So then I said to Trina Brown, I think we should buy this horse for you. And at first, we were like, is he going to be fast enough? Because he's like a St. Bernard. Like, he's just friendly and kind and slow. And, like, so we had to kind of wake him up a little bit.
Yeah.
But was someone in the barn the other day had said to me, she's like, I think this horse is a sleeper. Like, he is going to be good. And he has been amazing. He wasn't patterned when we bought him, which was in March.
Oh, wow.
When Trina bought him. Yeah, so, and we bought him kind of, well, we did some roping on him, did a little bit of barrels, and we're like, he's going to be a really nice horse for you, Trina. Like, you're going to love him. He's going to place you, you know, near the top, but maybe not be the fastest. And now he's got big shoes to fill, yeah. Which is kind of funny. He's way bigger than Bugatti, but he's smoking runs, and I'm so excited to run him this weekend. He did really good at ABRA finals. We just had some trouble with the ground on both my horses, so I'm hoping that it holds up here and we can smoke some runs this weekend.
Yeah,
you will. So do you primarily run client horses, or do you have some of your own too?
No, we have always run our own horses. When we got Guy, that was our first year. Heidi took a risk on us. Brian went and hunted that horse down, and he's like, I'd like to run your horse for you. So she took a risk on us, and we had him for 2 years and then ran him last year. And that worked out so good for us. So we decided that we would try to run a few more for some other people. But my mares that I ran this year just didn't have what it took at the time. The one mare got a little bit hurt at the Big Bang, so we just left her off. Oh, she's coming back this weekend. I'm kind of excited to run her. And then I had another one that just was working okay, but not at the top. So we've backed her off, think something's maybe a little bit wrong with her. And I mean, they don't all work out, but we'll bring her back. My mom's going to ride her over the winter, and we'll bring her back in the spring.
Nice.
How do you make that call? Because I know, like, we live way up north. You live a bit up north, too. But just to make it, like, financially make sense to come down to these fraternities and spend the big entry fees, like, it is always such a process bringing horses along. And, like, some just, like, come on faster than others. Like, what's kind of your guideline to judge when it's worth it to keep on entering or to give them some time off and maybe they need another year? Or just, like, how do you make those choices?
That's a little bit of a tough question, because sometimes you feel like the horse needs to just be seasoned some more. And yeah. Sometimes you do have to spend those fees to season your horses. Like, that is part of it. And I think people get kind of shied away because they don't want to spend the money on seasoning horses. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. Horses, I mean, they're not all going to just go and hit the pay window. So and getting your timing too on different horses is always a bit of a struggle. So you're always going to be donating some of that money. And I always tell people, like, my mom has a savings started for her fraternity horse for next year because...
Oh, that's so smart. You know, like,
and my one friend showed me a Excel spreadsheet that her client had made for her for all the fraternities and all how much it was going to cost. And just to be aware as a horse. Yeah. Like, as a horse owner, that this is what it's going to cost you. Are you willing to commit to that? And if you are... I mean, but yes, you still don't run a horse down the road the whole year and hope to heck it's going to place if it's not showing that potential. Yeah. So.
Being smart about it,
I like your comment to how you guys, like, you look for horses that you think would work in your program and you go and ask those.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking without my mic. I like your comment, like, just for, you know, other trainers and stuff out there, that's kind of a good tidbit, like how you guys hunted out horses that you thought would work in your program or that you really wanted to take a crack at and just ask the question.
Well, I have to give my husband the credit for this because I don't maybe think as highly of myself as he thinks of me sometimes. So he is like, he goes and finds horses that he wants. And then he's like, you know, you're going to ride this horse. And I'm like, oh, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, no, you got this. It's fine. So, you know, I would probably be riding my old horse from my mom still. That'd be 100 years old, you know, out there just kicking and whipping and trying to make it happen. But he's got such a big view of the future and like what he wants for us and for our family. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
Did you guys, the ground in your arena is like beautiful there when I was there a while ago. Did you guys used to train out of that facility all year long in the wintertime?
Yeah, we rode all winter long there in our Carhartts and long johns, and like we know how to dress for winter up there.
Do you heat it?
No, it's not heated. We salted the ground a couple times.
Okay, I wondered that too because it felt so like moist.
Yeah,
like, does this moist. Work in the winter?
He is very particular about ground.
That was amazing.
Yeah, he like went and found a groomer that he wanted and did the research on it and made sure. But it's great, and it's great for colts. It's great to build confidence on them. But then sometimes we go places and the ground maybe isn't ideal and the horses are a little bit nervous. So it is important for me to go ride other places and do a lot of that.
So what's your ground? Like, is it like a 60-40 dirt sand ratio? I'm like, we're doing our indoor, so I'm like, what is your ground? Please tell me.
So he would have to tell you because in like some of our round pens, we have some manufactured sand and then some natural sand, and like he's the mix master.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll just shoot him a message.
Yeah.
Or like, let me know. I'll message you on Facebook.
He's a civil engineer, like by trade. And so he does concrete mixing and stuff like that. So it's like his game. He will do ground and make it perfect.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. So let's hear a little bit about your guys' program. Like, I'm dying to know, like, what you guys do to create such great horses and champions and get through to maybe some of the tougher ones. What do you guys like to work on, and how would you describe your guys' program?
I'm like, she's hoping I'm going to tell her, like, this amazing story, but...
Please. You're like, we just ride them.
Consistency is key, right? I had some really great trainers tell me things... I always feel like keeping an open mind to training horses and so is so important, and trying to train with that horse's style and not making them into your style. I mean, obviously in the end we all have our style that works the best, but trying to work with the horse rather than against them, or trying to shape them into the specific box for your style, I think is so important. So we like our horses to be really user friendly. I don't love a horse that's super aggressive. Obviously I like to ride mares, so I do like them aggressive, but I don't want them to be so aggressive that nobody else can get on them.
Yeah.
I want people to be able to ride behind me. And I think because we both ride the horses, then, it makes them a little easier to, for other people to ride them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Steph just like crushed it on Frenchman yesterday. So awesome. You did. You did so good. Like, you rode him perfectly, other than you're not switching your hands. It's fine. But like,
it happens. It happens to me sometimes. Yeah. It's fine.
I was like, it's more worth it to just hang on. If you
crush my hands. But your seat was so good. Like, you still kept balance, and like, he still like smoked his turns. Like, that horse wants to turn.
He's cool.
Yeah.
I love him.
I'm so excited. I wish I would have been able to ride him longer, but I am so excited for you to go on with him.
Yeah, he's going to be really, really cool. I also, like, have a question, and it's maybe, like, all over the map, but whatever. I've just, like, this popped in my head. So when you're going down the road, rodeoing, futurity-ing, whatever, what's your week like? So I know you have your big events on the weekend. What do you do during the week? Do you work barrels during the week? Do you go to some local jackpots, or do you just give them, like, do you just long trot down the road just to, like, keep them sharp? And, like, what's kind of your conditioning and maintaining program?
My weeks are like a mayhem, actually. I like get home on Sunday nights in the middle of the night, or Monday morning, or whatever, right? And then my kids go to school. So it's like, let's get them off to school, try to get everything organized, like throw laundry in, run around the house like a maniac. And then I'm like, oh, I should ride some horses. Okay. So we get some horses to rode. Like, but as far as like when I get on my horses, when I eventually get on them, Crystal Grad was at my house this week. She's like, oh my gosh, this is your like total mom gig right now. And I'm like, really? I know, but I'll get on horses in a minute. Like, it's I'm like, oh, I think we got six rode the one day. And anyways, so when I get on my horses, I try to just really block all of the things out that I have going on. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that's why I'm able to do the futurities and do all the things, like some of the high pressure events, because I do have to block out quite a lot of other stuff when I'm riding. Okay. Just try not to bring that to the barrel pin when I go to work my horses.
Yeah.
I really want my horses in good shape. So often we are really fortunate. We're able to ride our horses on lots of land. Mm-hmm. I don't do much conditioning in the arena. They go out, probably if, as long as I don't have any like major issues that I'm working on, I'd like to have them out 3 days a week.
Okay.
For like probably 10K, 5 to 10K. Mm-hmm. But if, if they have to be in the arena, I just really focus on conditioning, proper body position. I like to be able to move all the parts of my horse, getting them nice and supple. Right now I'm like, I don't know if I need my horses quite so behind the bit, or maybe a little more, you know, flat. So sometimes things change on certain horses
and
how you feel about how they should feel. If a horse is kind of flat, I'll ride them a little more round. If they're kind of round, I'll try to ride them a little more flat.
Mm-hmm.
But they see the barrels at least once a week, maybe twice, depending on what they need.
Yeah.
Is there some like people in your guys's life that you have that kind of come to mind, or that you did do a lot of your like original learning from?
So at the beginning I had been to Dave Manning. He's like kind of a legend in our eyes, and I'd been to him a few times. And then when I met Brian, and after we got married, I'm like, I think you really could learn a lot from this guy. And he went out there, and we've done a ton of work with Dave, and he really got Brian on his colt starting program. And he's an older gentleman, so he's like, I don't want to get hurt. This is how like I do it without getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And so Brian picked up a lot of that. And so he was probably one of the first people that really showed an interest in us and helped us a ton. And we've had so many people, like, I hate to name names because
it is,
it's
kind
like
of a weird
I'll forget
question.
Someone and then they'll be like, oh, you never named me or whatever. But
what was some of your first big successful horses that you've had and that kind of like took you to the top originally in the competitive end of barrel racing?
So I had a little mare. I actually got rid of her this weekend. I'm like devastated.
Oh.
I didn't get rid of her. I sent her to Casey Chudek.
Oh, yeah.
So she runs her full brother.
Is that Frosty?
Frosty.
Oh, so that's
Roja
awesome.
Was my first horse that I did. I bought her as a cutting horse when she was three from Spates's and took her to the barrel pen. She did so good for me. I ran her as a 4, 5, and 6-year-old, and she was the reserve champ for the Derby, I think, 2 years in a row.
Wow.
For the Canadian. And then I rodeoed her a little bit, and while she was coming up, I bought another horse from Joanne Moorside, and she was, this is Sirius. Her name was Sirius Nitrous. Mm-hmm. Those horses got me like kick-started.
Yeah.
We started Nitrous ourselves. We tried to sell her in one of the CBHI sales at the very beginning and no one was interested in her.
Really?
So I got to keep her. I'm like, the Lord
that
works in great ways.
So many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meant to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So we got her and she was reserve champion for the Futurity, that year. I think it was like 2011 or 10. Like it's kind of got a long time now.
Yeah.
And then I ran her as a Derby horse, pro-rodeed her a little bit, rodeoed her amateur and made some finals on her. So she really got things rolling for me. And then I bought a horse off of Norma Muldoon that was a perfect possibility. And so that's where my love of like perfects came from. But she did amazing. We bought her as a 4-year-old and went on with her. She was a little bit of a spicy one. Mm-hmm. So she tested us, but so I rodeoed on her and we made some finals on her too, and now we're breeding her. And then I ran her full sister. So Kitta was a full sister, and I ran her. We got made some money in the Super Stakes here as a Derby horse. She was a reserve, I think, as a Derby horse here. Yeah, like she kind of kickstarted things for me. She took me to Copper Springs in the States. That was one of my first times being to the States, and I remember being there thinking, I'm way out of my league. I have this little tiny Canadian bred horse and all these girls are like running 16.8s and like, what am I doing here? But we went out there and she ran like 17.3s and a 17.1, and I was like right in there.
Yeah,
so that was nice. Like, you know what, I don't really care who shows up to the barrel race anymore. I'm just gonna go make my runs. And so we had Kitta and she got us down to the States a couple times, and then we got Guy, and it was like Guy's storm cloud was from Heidi, and he really opened doors for us. So we had Kitta and she got us down to the States a couple times, and then we got Guy, and it was like every time I swung a leg over that horse, I made a check. He is so special to me, and I got to ride him a couple times last year and was hoping to get him back for this year, but it just didn't work out for us with the border and everything. So hope maybe next year. But yeah,
is he a Casanova cowboy
as
well?
Yeah. So he was our first Casanova cowboy that we rode. We have now quite a handful of them, and I really like them. But he did so well for us. We went to the States a couple times with him, and then really got us kind of set up to go to Arizona. And the contacts that you make down there then seem like they just keep opening doors.
That's kind of what we notice. Like people, you know, ask all the time, oh, do you make any money with the podcast?
No.
Like, no, we don't really. But like, honestly, just like the cool like connections of stuff we've learned. It's like a clinic every time we get to chat with somebody. Mm-hmm. And then just like the people you get to meet in the horse world. Like we have like so many new friends. And, you know, it's totally. Just, it's neat. The connections are big in this community. So how did you guys, have you been going to the States now for a little bit in the winter times or just?
So last year was our first year to Arizona. We had some horses to run in the Futurity. They weren't quite ready. And I felt like I had the A team when I left to go to the All In Vegas. And I sold Guy and I sold Kitta on the way. Heidi sold Guy. So then I had 4-year-olds that I hadn't been camping on because I'd been Futurity-ing so hard. So I went to the All In, and if you've been there, like it's kind of a big deal when you get there, and I'm like, wow.
Haven't been there. I've seen it.
I want to go one day.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I kind of ended up with this extra horse that some clients, the Woodses, brought me, and they're like, this horse is really fast. He needs to be seasoned. So I was really thankful for him. He was hard on me, but I made some like outstanding runs, like some of the best runs of my life on that horse too. And then he went back and is doing good for Chloe. But just to have a horse always that is fast is super important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To keep you sharp and keep you competitive almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are the guys Casanova Cowboys like since you guys have a whole?
They are very, very personable. Like they always want to be in your pocket. They're like big dogs. Like they just want people. They don't even really care for other horses. They just want people all the time.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Like they're a real person horse. Like, and they... are very, I wouldn't say like emotional, but they are like, Highway's quite upset. He's very rude when on the halter, and we don't like our horses to be rude on the halter shanks. Yeah. So I bought him a halter today with a rope noseband, and he's pretty put out by it.
Oh, no.
But I'm like, I'm sick of you dragging me around. Like, he's 16-1. Yeah. He's like at least 1,500 pounds. He's a big horse when he decides he's just going to take a bite out of someone's hay bale and dump their wheelbarrow. And,
you know,
like,
my goodness.
So he's a little bit upset, so I'll have to do some making up to him before I run him tomorrow. But for now, he's tied to the trailer with it on. He keeps breaking the binder twine and, like,
He's really mad.
He's upset.
Just very emotional.
Yes.
That's kind of how my guy is, too. He's super personable, but, like, very emotional. Like, if you piss him off, he, like, gets really upset. Or if I feed him and I dump his cubes in before I give him his grain, he's like, are you serious? And he'll go stand in his shelter and just, like, stare at the wall until he gets his grain.
Yeah, like, it's ridiculous. So important to, like, kind of read what they're telling you, because they do talk to you. Like, they, you know, you need to read what your horse is, what's going on with them for sure. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Do you have a question? No, I was just going to say, do you want to talk about the mental game now?
So I am not a, like, obviously mental game is a huge part of barrel racing. I wouldn't say that I have it down to a T at all. I just think that you have to be confident. You need to be confident in yourself. And this is what, like, we were going to have a conversation, but you have to be so confident in your horse and in yourself. As soon as you're questioning yourself or questioning your horse, it's just going to feed into your program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that you need to really be, even if you don't have like 100% confidence in your riding or maybe your horse, you need to find something that you're confident in. So even if it doesn't have to do with barrel racing, right? Like, my one friend was like, had all this fancy tack, and I'm pretty plain. And she's like, well, if I can't be the fastest, I'm going to darn good well look the best, right? Mm. And I'm like, yeah, okay, good. That's good. If that's what makes you confident out there, then good.
Yep. Yeah.
Feel good.
Yeah, exactly. My horse feels really good. You know, he's in the best shape he's been. You know, whatever it is for you that's going to make you confident out there for your animal, I think that that's really important. And then trying not to bring your outside game into your barrel, like into your run, right? Into any of that. I sometimes get where I don't want to think about barrel racing just because I'm like, it's going to make me nervous. And I can't get nervous. Like, as soon as I get nervous, I just, like, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my hands. Like, you know what I mean? So sometimes I'll be, like, chatting about other things, trying not to be nervous. But then I'm like, oh, I do need to know what number we're on, kind of deal.
I think subconsciously that's what I do, too. I'm just, like, always late, so I don't have to be.
Yeah. You're, like, really late. Like, we probably give Steph a freaking aneurysm whenever she travels with us. We're like, okay, like, we should get you saddled. We should get you booted up. We know it's getting pretty close. And she's just like, la, 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 like...
I know, try to be as laid back as possible, right? Yeah. Because you're like, I don't want to get anxious. I don't want to, like,
Zen. It's true, though. Like, if I'm running later than normally, then I'm way less nervous because I'm just busy the whole time. Yeah. Whereas if I sit there and I have, like, all this time, then I start thinking or I'm watching. I don't like watching before I run.
Really? Oh, I like it. I missed my run once, though, at, like, a final. So, like, and that was, like, 90% my fault, 10% Cole's fault. But, like, I'm just going to say it's Cole's fault. And
he was there, so it's his fault.
Yeah. He made me gas up the truck. Instead of putting $20, then he made me fill it up, and that made me miss my run.
Sure.
So it was totally his fault.
Yeah, you would have made it.
Yeah,
I think so.
But, so I feel like now I'm like, holy shit, like, what number are they on? I need to know right now, like, how much time do I have to warm up? When do I have to lay six? Like, it's just all, like, I'm
so glad you said that, because it happens.
Yeah.
I missed my run. I've missed a few in my barrel racing career. I've almost missed a few, and then I missed my run at the Big Bang.
This year.
Thank goodness it was my own horse. I just was staying quite a ways away and was like, oh, well, it took them 4 hours to run like 100 horses, so I think I'll be fine. And we were reverse order, and AJ was like, no, we're picking this up, and just like rolled through. And I was
it was a lot faster.
Yeah, I turned my phone on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're calling my name. I texted Cassie. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to make it. I'm driving there.
No.
No way. Yeah, so I like rolled over, which was nice.
Yeah.
And bought back because want to run her. And But yeah, so embarrassing. Like, this is what I told you, I do embarrassing things all the time. But just to be like, I'm a professional. This is not how I need to be. But sometimes I just, yeah,
it
I'm a little harebrained.
Yeah. And reverse order always messes me up. I like don't like even today. I'm just like, hey, what's like 280 minus like 353 or whatever? How many people are here? And I'm just like, what number am I? Like, I just, yeah, it messes me up.
Yeah.
Choices.
I know people always think that barrel racing, it's just three barrels, like whatever.
No,
it's not a big deal.
There's so much math involved.
There's so much math involved. I know. Yeah, exactly. And then you have to like have all your stuff lined up and timed out and everything that you're doing with your horses. It's
if you have multiple horses, that would be
yeah.
So let's chat a little bit about your feed program, like to get your horses keeping healthy and sharp and
yeah.
Good.
So this year, I got sponsored by North 40 Performance.
Nice.
And they are a hemp feed. Doug Bowers is the owner of that company. He called me up and was like, I'd like to sponsor your Futurity horses this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're paying for all my Futurity horses to run this year.
No way.
So they are my, and they're doing really well on the hemp feed. We have always tried to feed as clean a feed as possible. I don't really like processed feed for my horses or for us if we can help it. So I was feeding peas and flax before that with some whole oats. And then, yeah, Doug was like, hey, do you want to add this to your program? So, I'm mostly feeding hemp right now and my horses are loving it. They, some of them didn't like to eat it at the beginning, but they are all coming around to it. So I feed them the, mostly the fiber and oil, and then they still get some whole oats. I can't quite kick that.
Yeah.
So what kind of products do they have?
It's pretty limited. They have the cold pressed hemp oil, which is like a cool energy, anti-inflammatory.
Nice.
And then they have, the fiber, which is like the husk of the, hemp plant, I guess. Okay. And then they also have like what we would eat as hemp hearts, like the protein separated. And then they put it together in a pellet too. So you can get it pelleted if you want.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you can just add that into like your.
So you can just feed it like. Okay. I feed a ton of it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
And it's fairly reasonably priced too, which is nice. I mean, I don't necessarily know the prices because I'm pretty fortunate that they let me have it. But
yeah,
it's pretty. And there's quite a few distributors around Alberta too.
So. When you go south, do you like take cubes with you, or do you just you find hay down there?
We have always fed like grass hay and alfalfa mostly at home. When we went down there, the more I go, the more my horses have done well on alfalfa. Like, you know, kind of more old school. It was like, well, we'll just feed grass. But with the race horses and stuff and just how much they're working and on the road, I just feel like alfalfa is the way to go for us.
Does it?
So when we were in Arizona, actually alfalfa is cheaper down there than the grass hay, or like they're pretty close. And they eat the alfalfa and the grass they're not so interested in. So we fed alfalfa down south and everyone's like, oh, it's like rocket fuel. But we didn't seem to have any trouble with them being too hot on alfalfa. No.
It's like lime green down there. Like when I went down, I was like, this is like, like my horse would go crazy.
Yeah. But you're riding lots and like riding the colts lots too. You know, it's not as big of a deal. I think maybe for some older horses it might be, or some horses that are super, super hot. We like to keep our Futurity horses as quiet as possible. I do a ton of time onlys, a ton of slow work with them. We do some fast stuff.
Yeah.
And we make sure that they are confident to run. But in the alley, like we do lots of alley work. I do tons of time onlys, just that kind of thing. And then having them out on the trail and stuff, keeping them, riding them lots, but keeping them quiet.
It sounds like you bring along a very confident horse.
Yeah, Brian starts them really well. So I have like lots of confidence in them when I get on them. I don't get on anything that's really feisty. Like in the past, it was like, you're not getting on anything that I haven't started. And then, but then as we ride some more client horses, then I've got on a few other ones. But he's very careful on what I ride and what he thinks is going to be safe for me so that I'm not worried about this horse.
Yeah,
you have a question. I listened to your guys' podcast with the Brazilian fellow and I was like, yeah, like he just gets on those horses and has no question in his mind that they're going to work for him because he's not the one dealing with all of the issues.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of like that. Maybe I wouldn't have. No.
It was so wild when we asked him, like, so what happens if you have a bad run? He's like, I go see a psychiatrist. We're like, okay, like this is like, that's pretty serious.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. Like there's such a balance between being hard on yourself and hard on your horse and then being able to let things go.
Yeah.
We... And we all struggle with that, right? You want to just be like, oh, I got to fix this. But I try not to watch my bad runs. I look at them. We analyze them with all of the runs. We analyze all of the runs. There was some chirping going on that I had won the round last weekend, and it was like, oh, well, he was pretty hard on her after that run, and she won the round. And I'm like, we don't win the round and then sit on yesterday's glory. Like, we got to go back, look at that run, check it out. What are we going to change? What do we need to do to improve it? What was good? Okay, and then we have a plan and go on from there.
Yeah.
It's so important to just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what our kids, we had a motto last year that we would just keep moving forward. We found this little arrow and put it in our truck, and it just kept like turning, or like, just keep moving, just keep moving forward.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a good motto.
Yeah.
You said you do a ton of time only. So I have to ask, like, it's probably different for every horse, but you know, generally what do you do in your time onlys?
Yeah. Like you said, it's different for every horse. So for like Bugatti this weekend, I knew he'd come in here and be jacked. We've had a lot of runs on him. He's a super nervous, hot kind of fella anyways. So, I brought him in, you know, maybe we can get a lope. Maybe we trot. It just depends. I try not to fight them in their time onlys. I don't like to ask a horse for more at home or more at a barrel race than I do ask them for at home. And I don't want to pick a fight in the arena if I can help it.
Yeah.
I don't often have to pick a fight with horses because it's already done before I get on them. But usually, so for Bugatti, we just lope through nice and easy, just build some confidence. I don't want him to look at the banners. So we just go to the barrels and go around the barrels. We don't look, we don't go too far by or like go up to the banners. This is your job here on the barrels.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so for him, it's just keeping him confident. I had tumbled him yesterday. He's a little bit like scooty, so I'm like, you know, going in with two hands and he's bouncing and boinking every direction. I'm like, hey, just follow your line, you're fine.
Yeah.
And then, but with Highway, I was like, you need to find your feet, buddy. Like, he so
you
we
wake up.
Yeah, exactly. So Highway, poor guy, he's always getting thumped on because he's like, what, huh, what are we doing? I'm like, we are barrel racing, on it, get on it right now.
Yeah.
We were at Clarissa or Cardston last weekend, and I'm like, he didn't even show up till we went around the third. Like, he was just out there doing his thing, you know. So he needs a wake-up call every time I get on that horse. But he, yeah, I brought him in, made a run, like, right away, because I knew he would look at the banners and then decide that he was going to spook at those. So the faster we go on him, the better, because then he's not spooking at the banners and
not
stuff.
Thinking about it as much.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. So it just depends on the horse. I brought Nilla in, and she's had a few weeks off, so just loped her through. She kind of wanted to look at the banners, and I'm like, gassing it.
Yeah.
We're going through fast, and then that's it for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that's good to hear, because, yeah, you know, it is just, like, it's different for every horse, so it's interesting to hear how you kind of treat all of them.
Yeah, and I think time only is really, and I'm learning this, first of all, you have to also be confident in your time only.
Yeah, because right? Otherwise they can mess with your mind going into the weekend, too.
And it seems so simple to just, oh, you have your 2 minutes or 1 minute, and, like, but people get nervous and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time, or oh, there's this or there's that. And you just have to have a plan.
Yeah.
Always have a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of execute your time the best you can out there.
Be effective.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So just a personal question. So a horse like Frenchman, so I noticed, like, just what you said a little while ago, like, no, we're going to the barrels. Like, he's kind of looking around, but once he, like, locks onto the barrels, it's like the barrel is his safe place, and he knows go to the barrel and turn the barrel, and he's, like, game on. So with him, but he feels just, like, you know, like a little lucky, and he's 7, but he's, like, he just hasn't been a ton of places. So with him, like, you've seen the video, would you kind of go the same speed as yesterday and just... Like, you just got
I was going to call you, and I was going to be like, come in my time onlys in the morning.
Oh.
But so I would time only that horse.
You would. Yeah. And I did. I stopped here for open riding on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do, like, a time only. So mm-hmm. I warmed him up back there, and I tried to, they didn't have the alleyway set up, but there was just a mouth. And, like, I, like, sent him from the back, just, like, fast slope up there. And he got scared at the mouth. He's like, ah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, good thing I came here. So we did the barrels quite a few times, like trotted them, walked them, loped mm-hmm. them, then I cruised again, and he was good. And then yesterday I was like, okay, I'm gonna just, like, send him in there, like, clucking so that he's, like, running. But then as soon as we got to the mouth, his, like, ears perked up, and he was kind of looking at the third barrel, and I was like, hey, over here. But he once he locked onto the barrels, it was game on.
Right.
But I just felt a little bit of inconfidence, which made me a little bit inconfident, and I'm like, am I going fast enough, do I go slower?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you had a great run yesterday, and I would just try to keep it smooth. Smooth is fast.
Smooth is fast.
And
yep.
You, yeah, just build on what you
did yesterday,
what you liked yesterday, and try to just go in there with some confidence. And yeah, yeah, he's gaining every time you run him. I see that you guys are both gaining. So
yeah. Oh, he's fun. He's a fun.
He looks
dude.
So cool. I love him. It was so funny when Steph when looked at him too. You could tell. She was done. She didn't want to try any other horses. At the Big Bang, we're like, come on, Steph. Like, there's some horses here. She's like, I think I'm good.
I was just sad after that. I was like, no.
She's like, I love him. One.
I did go try two more that weekend.
Yeah.
But it was just...
didn't fit the bill. It was like Frenchman and everything else. But like, yeah.
I had my little heart set like a long time
It was
ago.
Like a bad breakup when you thought you couldn't get him. You're just like still thinking about him.
It's the worst, right? Yeah. Well, that's how I feel after I sell a horse. I'm like, I have to have a day where I'm like really sad.
To think about
Like, you know, they worked so good for me and now I'm just sending them off. But then when you know the owners, it's a lot more helpful, right?
Yeah.
Because
yes.
You're like, oh yeah, they're gonna take care of them. And yeah,
do you train your horses and compete on them typically with the hopes of selling them?
It depends. So the mares usually we keep for breeding if we think that we want to breed them. Like even with Silk, like she's not at the top of her game right now, but we will breed her.
Yeah.
She's a judge cash and they take a little longer. So we're just going to give her the time and be patient with her. And then, hopefully breed her or sell her. It's hard to say, like, depending on what she, if she, you know, it's really like if people come to you and they're like, I have money and I want to buy your horse.
It's hard to say no sometimes.
It's hard to say no. Yeah. Like, how do you, and if it's the right amount and what you know, it's business in the long run. And so sometimes I think people, and for me, it's business. It might not be for everyone else, right? Other people might not think that way. But for us, it is our business. It's right now we both quit our jobs. We're both riding horses. This is our business and we need to make it work. So sometimes the sentimental part, I just take the day and then that's it. Yeah. Like that's all I get.
Yeah.
It is the business. Do you guys, are you focused mostly always for charity or rodeo a bit too?
I did rodeo a little bit. I amateur rodeoed for like a few years, made the finals there. I did some pro rodeos. I've done some WPRA rodeos, and rodeoing is tough. Girls that rodeo are like a notch above. Like I cannot, it's so hard.
And just
the driving and the miles that have gone on. And I think because of having a family with me, being able to park, set up, ride like quite a few horses and my kids can play, they have friends. That was like a big thing for us. We like the fraternity girls that I have run with for a long time. Like they all know my kids. It was just a safe place for us to be at the fraternities with the kids. Whereas rodeo, it's maybe not quite as safe for the kids to be there a little more unsupervised because obviously mom's riding and sometimes dad is too. I love rodeo. But I don't know if I'm tough enough to rodeo anymore. I'm like all this driving and I do drive a long ways, but usually we stay for a few days after we're there, you know, and can get a lot of horses rode.
Yeah.
So
definitely nice with a family, the fraternity.
Yeah. I really enjoy the fraternities and they're low pressure. Like, well, I mean, sort of. They're low pressure at the beginning because you have no expectations. By now, it's like the pressure is on and it's ridiculous. I'm like, oh.
So I have two questions, I guess. I'm going to try squeezing them in before I have to run and yell at Shelby. So the first question, I guess, is how do you know you're ready for the pros? Like, do you like want to work your way up in the amateurs and then be like, okay, if I make finals, I think I'm good enough to go pro? Or do you just like, my horse is running hot, I want to just go straight to the pros?
I guess it just depends what you want to do. Because some of the amateur runs are pretty tough. Like those horses are pretty tough. So for me and for Brian, like he's like, if you're not like first or second in the jackpots that you're going to, and this isn't like the Edson jackpots, cause you know, there's not as many girls there, but like we haul a long ways for the jackpots because we need to actually measure those horses and see where they're at.
Yeah.
He's like, if you're not running in the 1D and near the top on those horses, they're not ready to go, Brandy. So, you know, it depends. If you want to go, whatever. And season your horse on the road. That's fine. And I'm not, you know, but he's for us and for our family, it's, you need to be near the top if you're going to go.
Yeah.
So we, and with the fraternities too, like these horses are stinking tough. These fraternity horses, the ones that fraternity last year are rodeoing pro this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know that like, bringing fraternity horses up and running against some of the other, you know where your horse is at right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and then you take them to rodeo and it's like a whole new ball game because those horses are, they're gritty. They're a little tougher, right? The fraternity horses are faster oftentimes at the fraternities, but the rodeos, they're not. They don't know to safety up and they just let it all hang out. So it's kind of hard to...
So that was my next question is, how do you know when you have a rodeo horse versus a jackpot horse, or if like they can both succeed in both aspects?
I don't know if I've rodeoed enough to say, but like we just run them wherever it works for us, right? Like if we think, the last few times we've rodeoed, it's just been like, well, the rodeo was close by the fraternity, so we thought we'd hit it up on the way. Yeah. I haven't chased a rodeo trail for quite a while now. And really in the game that we're doing, like with our clients and stuff, we can't rodeo.
Yeah.
So, I think if your horse, so let's say Bugatti, right? And Highway, actually Highway is going to, the lady that bought him is in Idaho. They're not, her horses, her daughter just went to New Mexico to college and she's going to take Highway to New Mexico to run at college rodeos.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, is he ready to rodeo? Guess we'll find out. He's running there at the top, so that's good. He's not really afraid when he gets out there and makes a real run. Whether he handles the ground or not, it's hard to say, but he will figure it out. And same with Bugatti. I'm like, is he ready to rodeo? I don't know. If his owners decide to sell him, then I guess we'll find out, because that's probably where he'll end up going. And I think he will be able to rodeo. He likes to stand up on ground and
nice.
I feel like that at the Kicking Cactus, I was like paranoid that the ground was and they did such a good job of making it dry, but I was still like just so nervous to run outside it was pretty wet. And so I just like loped in, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, but he handled it fine and he's been handling ground fairly well.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. I think he's going to be ready.
Yeah. It is a good mud arena because it's safe.
Yeah, and they did such a good job of fixing the holes the best they could. That was really good.
Well, I got to hit the road here because, Shelby just needs a little extra encouragement in the alleyway apparently today. So I'm going to do that. It was super nice to, like, chat with you, though. Yeah. Like, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to go back and listen to your embarrassing story because just because I'm not here doesn't mean you get out of it.
Okay. I feel like I did already mention one.
You did, but we have
to have the highlight.
That's actually pretty good.
The Big Bang, you know. That's a good one. That's a good one.
But yeah, thank you so much, and it was super nice to chat with you.
So how many horses do you guys take south in the wintertime? Like, do you just take one trailer and fill it, or?
Well, last year we did. We just took one trailer. We filled it up, and then we ended up, a guy came to us. I ran him at the Greg Olson and the MVP. I actually ran him at the All In, and we did pretty well there. He sort of was already across, so it was easier to get him to us. And then we had some horses, some Canadians that sent us some outside horses when we were down there, so that was kind of nice. We didn't have to try to haul because we only have a 6-horse. So
yeah, you have to pick and choose. Sometimes, probably.
So this year is going to be a little bit tougher for us. I have some 3-year-olds that have to go down. And then we're not sure what we're doing.
Usually it'd be 3-4-year-olds that you take to try to get ready.
And then like the 4-year-olds, obviously then they're 5, so we have to run those ones. So I have 4 that are ready to run this year. I told Heidi on her horse, I'm like, I think like I'm really confident. I haven't been as confident on 4-year-olds as I am for those ones.
Cool.
So yeah,
some more
they're cowboys. They're both I have a racehorse that Heidi ran on the track a couple times as a 2- and 3-year-old, and he's pretty special. And then I have another cowboy Casanova that we had bought off of her late husband Bill as a weanling, so we've been waiting for her for a long time. And she is just so much fun. So I'm super excited to run them. I ran them at the Krakow last week, and they worked good there. I was happy with their runs. And, yeah, so we're just going to go on with it.
It's like it's Christmas time. I don't have, like, any fraternity horse myself, but I just, like, love seeing what's coming for the next year. And it's, like, about that time again. Everyone will be cracking out there.
Yeah, I guess that was the showcase. And then the Krakow's coming up, right?
That's awesome.
It's like we're just finishing up here, and then we have all these brand new horses coming, and so everyone's like, when does your season kind of end? I'm like, no,
it doesn't. End.
We don't end ever.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So that guy, he lives in the States now?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Cool. And is he rodeoing and stuff?
He was hitting a few jackpots here and there. He Yeah, he's living the good life down there.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah. One of them can only hope to get sold south of the border so they don't have to endure our winters.
Yeah. It's in Idaho, so it still gets a little bit cold there, but not like up north, like you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
What other questions? You have a baby from Stevie too, right?
Yeah, I
do.
A yearling now, right?
Yes, yeah. And she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's everybody loves her. We call her Prize because she was kind of a surprise. We didn't tell anyone we were going up to get her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Secret little trip up north.
Yeah, secret trip. Yeah. Kick the horse out. And yeah, so no, she's doing great. I'm excited for her. Brian has ridden a couple of the PYCs and he's loving those. And yeah, so she's doing really well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really liked her. She was a sweetie. Yeah. She was just so easy too, like, you know, halter breaking, anything.
Personable.
She's so easy. So.
Yeah, she seems really sensible. And that's sometimes nice.
Yeah.
I came this weekend kind of with, like, you know, we came Thursday, Friday, did time only, got all organized. And then, so now I'm done for the day. This is kind of I got my horses numbered. Oh. I had this on the list. I had that on the list. You know, like,
now
I'm just
can
checking
relax.
Off the list of all
okay,
the things.
Okay, so you didn't have any open horses.
No, okay. I'm kind of spoiled. I really like to run futurity horses, and that's it.
Because
then I can be done for the day. Like, yesterday morning we got up, Crystal was at my house, and we got up at 3:30, loaded horses, and drove here because we couldn't get here the night before, right?
Yeah.
We had time only. I think hers were at 8, and mine were at 8:50. And, you know, so it was a long day yesterday, and then, you know, getting horses stalled and organized after your time only is, and so we did that.
The day just, like, goes by.
It goes really fast. And people, you know, they have such a, like, perception that barrel racing is such a holiday. And, you know, they're like, oh, it's so great that you're on a holiday. And I was talking to Riley's mom, too, and she's like, you know, you need to make sure that you get a day off. Because I'm like, when is my day off? Like, you know, and yes, I'm doing the mom things, but I'm also running around doing the horse things. So it's, like, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is, like, full on. You know, sometimes you could get a nap, but I am big in early time only, so I love to be in there early. You know, feeding, and you're up going all day. And then when I get home, it's like we groceries, whatever, like
unpacking
meals, like,
this week.
Unpacking. I my laundry from last week is in my washer because I'm like, oh whoops, I forgot to take it out of my trailer, and so good thing I have enough clothes, you know. But like, so it's important to find that balance because it is tough. And we have lights in the arena in our indoor, so that people are like, oh, you need more lights on your outdoor. I'm like, no, because we have to go to bed.
Yeah, you know? No kidding.
And in Arizona, it was tricky because it was like, oh, it's dark at 6. So that's it. Your day is over.
Yeah.
And some people have lights, but it was good for us to just be like,
that's
end
it.
Your day.
Yeah. 8:30, mom's winding down, going to bed.
And so, all the kids go too? Sorry.
No,
yeah, all the kids came with us. We did... last year we homeschooled from the beginning of the year. I figured with COVID, I was like, well, we've done this a few times now. I have an idea of what we're doing.
Yeah.
It went okay, I would say. And then we just put them back in school when we got home.
Oh, okay.
This year we're doing a teacher-led homeschooling. So they're going to kind of interact with the kids a couple times a week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They are going to send us some stuff. I really don't want my kids online. That's like a big thing for us. I just feel like they get so much screen time anyways, and I don't want them online. I get distracted online. How can you not get distracted online, right?
So what about, like, when you go down there, what happens to all the horses that are here? Like, you have someone looking after them, or?
So that's where our big team comes in.
Yeah.
My mom and my in-laws are home, so we live like 2 kilometers from my in-laws. That's where our barn and the indoor arena is. And then we have, my mom lives kind of like 500 yards from us across the arena, across the trees. So she kind of looks after the ones at her place, and then my mother-in-law comes over. She's the big farmer. And she has her cows and her tractors and stuff, and so she feeds horses during the winter. So I've been trying to get, you know, thin our herd down a little bit. My husband likes to collect his prized horses. So
I heard it was quite a large number.
It is quite a large number. Yes, it is. I counted some horses the other day, and I'm like, hey, we have more horses than cows. It is time to move them. And they're like super well-bred, super nice horses. So I'm like, come find me if you want to buy a horse. Yeah. Actually, go find him. He's better. Yeah. He will say they're not for sale, which they are, and he needs to price them and move some super nice
horses. Yeah, he's trying to pawn some off on me.
Oh, yeah, the brood mares, yes.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I don't have room for anymore.
Yeah, he's sad because I hauled like 7 head to the auction the other
really?
Day.
Really?
And oh, I mean, and those ones did go for brood mares, and I was so thankful. And then the ponies went really well, too. But yeah, like, he literally is breeding ponies, and I am like, cut the stud. That's enough. He loves horses.
Your kids were training ponies, all right?
Yes, they do. They last year we didn't take a kid's horse to Arizona with us, so the kids ride the colts often. Like,
wow,
they,
okay.
We took a picture of Kane the other day. He was leading the 1 4-year-old on another 4-year-old bareback just across the field to put them away. And we really want our horses to be safe. You know, safe for anyone to ride. So, but yeah, so the boys have been training ponies, and when we went to Arizona, they bought an ex-bronc. So that they could train it.
A challenge.
Oh, a challenge. Cool. So they bought him, and his name was Frank, and they trained him like pretty well. So he's down there now. He went to a friend's house, and they're going to get maybe ride him again when they get back. Yeah.
They're just going to be pro by the time they're 18.
My father-in-law was with Levi in the tractor, and Levi's 14. So we're starting to talk about, you know, older things. And Dad asked him what he wanted to be when he grows up, and he's like, I want to be a horse trainer like my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my father-in-law was probably like, oh my gosh.
Right. Right. End.
Yeah. Poor guy's never going to get out of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Are they all pretty, all the kids pretty into horses?
I was telling someone else the other day, like, they take turns.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is nice because that way there's always somebody riding the kids' horses. Gracie was born to be a barrel racer is what she tells everyone. She's 5 and she is just, like, full of life. She's ridiculous. She's so much fun. And, yeah, she loves barrel racing. She has a white pony named Magic, and we had a scare with her the other day, but Bailey Stanton was here and saved her, so that was kind of exciting. Yeah, good, thank goodness. And then Luke is there. So my kids are bronc riders. I don't know if you guys.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that.
We are going to Vegas because they made the junior, peewee, and rookie finals this year for the Worlds. Yeah.
Oh, is that right before the NFR?
So it's right between, it's during the NFR and it's right kind of the same time as the all-in barrel races. So like when we go to Vegas, everyone's like, oh, how is Vegas? I'm like, I don't know. It was like a barrel race and a bronc riding. Like it was a nightmare. It was busy. In the city. Like Vegas is like just another big city to us. We're just running around driving through it with a trailer on, you know.
Not actually experiencing
Vegas. Yeah. So Luke is 9 and he is just the, like, he's so kind and just such a little cowboy. So he has his horse Slingshot, and they do lots of, like, riding around, and he barrel races a little bit. He's not too cool yet. And then Kane was my hopeful barrel racer. Like, I'm like, you can do this, Kane. You're so good at it. You have a fast horse. Like, and he's like, nope, I don't want to be a barrel racer. So he's 11, and he is the same. Like, just, he's so kind and just wants to always be super helpful. And so they're huge helps. Like, this weekend I have to do chores.
Yeah.
I was talking about it with my friends. I'm like, I don't even do chores anymore. Really? The kids come with me and at home, like, they do chores. They do the stalls.
Yeah.
They do the pens when we were in Arizona. They do feeding. Like, they're really helpful. And so I'm like, oh, I gotta pack water. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm so spoiled. And but, and then Levi is 14 and he's like the man of the house. Like, he knows everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, So, but he's so handy and wants to be a horse trainer, so he often rides the colts and is super handy.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, got awesome instructors. Yeah. Like, when I came to try Frenchman there, Brian's like, oh yeah, just throw him in the round pen. And I was like, well, I can, but like, I don't really have round pen skills. Like, I don't know what I'm doing in there. He's like, okay, I'll show you. So he like did a few things and I was just wowed. I'm like, oh man, I could come out here and just like watch you guys work for a couple days, because it was incredible. Like, we've learned a lot from Mel Highlands, because he's up in our neck of the woods, and a couple other friends of ours go to like Cade Mills and stuff, so I've seen a little bit of it. But yeah, Brian was amazing. Like, he had him like just hands free, like made him Frenchman walk onto the middle of a tarp or whatever. It was just like, hey, come here, stand there, like,
I know,
wait. And like, kind of, I don't know if you would call it, is it liberty or horsemanship, I guess? And
yeah,
you know,
I'd say
it was cool.
Yeah, he definitely hones in on like getting the horse to just really focus on him and what he wants them to do, and he's so patient that way with them. I am not. that patient. Like, I'm just like, I don't care if they go on the tarp or not. He's like, it's part of the program. Like, it's the steps that you need to do, Brandy. And I'm like, I don't know if I have time for that. Like, there's basketball practice to pick the kids up in like half an hour, and I just need to lope some circles on this horse and make it, you know, right.
Yeah.
And so this is what we deal with on a constant basis, you know, because he doesn't have like a time crunch.
Yeah.
Other than, yeah, if he hasn't eaten lunch by 3 o'clock, he's thinking he should probably come home for lunch. But
yeah.
Other than that, he does not run on anyone else's schedule but the horse. So, you know, some days it might be 2 hours on a colt, other days it might be 15 minutes. Yeah. It just really depends what that horse needs, and he's good at reading that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So does he take outside horses?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yes.
How soon do you have to book him in advance?
I don't know where he's booking right now. I mean, I do all his stuff, but yeah, it's hard to say. He, like, because we're going to Arizona, people are like, oh, can we do something in the spring? I'm like, do you know what spring looks like for us, right? Like, if we, spring's like the end of May.
Yeah.
But he's often full and has a lineup. So if you want on the list, you gotta
get on the list. I have some weanlings, so I probably have time to get on the
list. Yeah, you probably do. Kay. You're probably okay.
Cool.
Something else I was going to tell you guys, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I have a clinic coming up. Talking about coming to my place to ride. So we have a clinic at Parkland Equestrian.
Oh, yeah. That big arena.
Is that the one on the highway with all the pens?
That's by West Hills. Yeah.
It's like the big gray.
I've always wondered what that place is like.
Well, it's changed hands a few times, but now Katie Vinson runs it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we rode together since we were little kids and asked me if I would come and do a barrel racing clinic there. So, I'm going to do that on my birthday weekend, actually. But I'm like, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
When I was a nurse, I worked on my birthday, so it's not a big deal. We'll just keep working.
Classic barrel racer horse trainer.
Exactly. Because it was the free weekend, right?
Yeah.
It's the second one I've done. I did one for Carly King in Williams Lake this year, and I haven't done clinics before. I really enjoyed it. I felt like the girls did so well, and it was just so nice to kind of speak into their program and help them with their horses. So,
do you find it stressful planning for a clinic? Like, do you have to have a few kind of drills in mind that you're going
to... So I kind of went to the clinic master because I stayed at her place in Arizona and was like, I picked Dee's brain. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's the deal. You said I should do this. Now, like, help me plan it, right?
Yeah.
So she just, like, gave me some pointers and told me, you know, like, I'm like, what do you do with this and what do you do with that and these kind of horses or these kind of people? And she said, like, it's a lot of people skills doing clinics, and you just really have to work with the people that, you know, with their weaknesses and their strengths. And she was just really good at building my confidence to then pass that on to other people.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah.
Oh,
sweet. I wish I had a horse in shape.
Let me know. I might have a horse for you.
Okay. I'm like, I'm just going to get back on my perfect possibility because she had a foal this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. Well, you're 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You can have her fit enough.
Okay. I'll work on it. Actually, I'm going to leave her at Steph's house because I just moved.
Oh.
So I have no...
So you're out of the dog kennel business?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're renting for a while now. So I have no pens at my house. They're all going to my parents' place.
Yeah.
So I'll just go ride with Steph and...
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
no
fun.
Dogs to look after.
You put the first ride on her and she was good.
She was.
Oh, she's already started riding her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I rode her once a while ago. And but she felt really good. I was like, she feels good. She feels sound and she...
She looked like soft and happy to
be here. Yeah, I was excited.
Cool.
So,
That's cool.
She is very out of shape. As am I.
Yeah, that's one thing that happens at, like, we talk about at the clinic, you know, is just being in shape for your horse.
Yeah.
And having your horse in shape.
It makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Do you find time for that kind of stuff? Or you just, like, you stay fit just how busy you are?
I used to try to go to the gym a lot. And it's always in the back of my head, like, I need to work out. I need to go to the gym. Like, it's always kind of there. I try to stay, like, super active when I'm on the road. Like, I have... if you want to go for a walk with me, I'll let you know when I'm going.
Yeah.
You won't come again. No, I'm kidding.
Really early or really fast walker?
Just fast. I have a few friends. I'm like, I'm going to go for a walk. They're like, we're not coming again. That's it. One-time walkers. They're like, you know. awesome.
We went once when we were in Claire's home. We got up and
went jogging.
But we jogged A&W.
Nice. Had a coffee and
egg McMuffins. Yeah, and jogged back.
I forgot about that part. Yeah. I have run quite a bit, but I actually hurt my back in Arizona last year. Like, right when we got there, I was like, oh my goodness. So, I've been trying to keep it low impact. Gracie started kindergarten this year, so I'm going to try to go to the pool, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And because I feel like I have so much impact in what I do.
Yeah,
that's true.
That I'm going to try to swim a little bit and see if that...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but it is tricky to try to, like, put time aside for that kind of thing. And I, obviously struggle with the schedule.
Yeah. I know, I always tell myself, like, worst case scenario, at least I should do, like, a 10-minute core routine. Because I feel like, core is important for like your back and just like your overall riding. So I try to tell myself I should at least like make time for that. It's hard. I like work out usually in the wintertime until like February, March, and then it just
Seems like the winter sometimes works out better to work out, and you think like, oh, I'll be able to jog in the summer because there won't be full of snow, but then you never do.
I've
coached basketball for I think 10 years and like worked out with quite a few different programs, and I do think it is super important. And just like this right now, I'm not struggling. When I travel alone, that's when I'm able to do some workouts, and I have like my little yoga mat in my trailer. And yesterday Kate was like, what is this? So there's like a rubber band in my truck, because when I went to the Equus physio, they were like, you need to do these exercises while you're driving. So I have I do work on stuff while I'm on the road, because I think it's really important.
Yeah.
And you guys try to eat pretty clean too?
If we can help it, obviously there's always the slip ups here and there. Yeah.
Always tacos in the bag at barrel races.
Yeah. I try not to. Usually the best part about having kids is that you don't have to like order it. You just have like two bites and you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then each of you get a separate ice cream, and then I get one bite of each one.
Yeah.
Right? You get all the flavors. Yeah, you gotta have lots of kids.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Your youngest one's 5?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Brian would have more, but I'm like, I'm good. I am good. I love the kids we have.
Lots of horses, lots of kids. Would be hard to juggle, but
I'll figure it out.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be having another baby here soon.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Actually, last time we were recording in this building, I made Nadine cry.
Oh yeah, you had your birth announcement on the
podcast. Cool. Yeah.
It was supposed to be for everybody on the podcast, but we went for a horse X-ray like the morning of, and the vet's like, neither of you are pregnant, hey? And I'm like, no.
And I'm just like, I guess I better walk out. Steph doesn't know yet.
That's cool.
She felt so bad.
Yeah, it was funny. She's like, that's the second person I've done that to.
You're like, the cat's out of the bag now.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Cool.
What other topics haven't we covered? What kind of saddle do you ride in? I'm just looking at these saddles.
Oh, yeah. So I ride in a Raleigh Racer.
Oh, okay.
I have rode in one for a very long time.
Yeah.
They're my favorite. They just like sit you right at home because you're not too far back and you're not too far forward or like right in the middle. You just get on there and you're like, oh, this is like, feels good. But I tried Raleigh's when she first had them going and was like, this is the saddle I need.
Yeah.
So I think I've had probably 6 of them, and I have my mom in one, and Brian rides in one sometimes. So we bought him one that he likes. And yeah, so I just, Raleigh Racer.
Yep.
I use a 5-star pad.
Yep.
I love those. I've tried a few other ones and I just keep going back to the 5-stars. I love the feel of a Dave Elliott bit.
What's kind of your go-tos for your feel with the Elliott bits?
Okay, so I'm not actually like a big bit person, but we did have one of Dave's horses, so then I got a few bits.
Oh,
so that's the way to get get what you
no
want.
No kidding.
And then I had Shelley Manning had some bits that I had was always like snafuing, so I would do well in that bit, and then I'm like, oh, I should probably get that bit.
I'm
not very like educated on the website because I haven't like ordered. I'm like just like, could you make me that?
Yeah. This one looks good.
Yeah, so I like the Sue Smith. I think it's the 03, or like there's a little bit of a longer one.
Yeah.
And I depends on the horse, right? Like, so I have quite a few of the same shank with different mouthpieces.
Okay.
I have ones with a port. Bugatti runs in one with a port.
Okay.
Highway runs in one without a port. the twisted mouthpiece. Like, I just, I don't know. Yeah. He has so many that are just so, when I ride in one that's not, I just know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the braided reins that Louise has and
yeah.
like the
yeah.
most plain head stall, breast cult, like whatever. I'm just so plain.
Yeah. Nothing crazy.
I don't want clips or buckles on anything because I don't want them to break. I don't want to take that risk. I feel like there's so many odds to barrel racing because we are playing like a gambling game, but then there's some things that you can
just check to make sure that
that you can control, and so that's something that I do. I don't want a clip or a buckle or a concho on anything that's gonna break. Like, if it has to do with its function, I want it to be like 100%.
Like the and the screw in, like the head bridles stalls. I always switch them to leather.
I'm big on that, and so is Brian. Like, he doesn't want anything. He gets like special reins made that have like quick change, but they're not a clip. Because it's just not something that I'm willing to have the risk. Plus, I don't really like the feel of the metal on metal on a horse, but that's you know, it's personal preference, but at the same time, for me, it has to be like so functional.
The only thing with those, then, you have to, like, you can't be switching bits and stuff at the barrel race. Like, you got to be prepared before you go, because I've done that before. I'm like, oh, I'm going to switch this. And then it's just like, oh, my God, no, it's going to take me way too long.
Oh, and so, like, I have a bit that everyone's going to be like, oh, my gosh, because I tied a knot in the head stall, like, a while ago, and it's, like, a big no-no, but I needed it tight enough, and I haven't changed it. And I don't like to say that I'm not superstitious, but it's working.
Been working.
And I'm like, I can't change it before CBHI, so I'm struggling. Because I got this new head stall, and it's pretty, like, it'll fit the bill. It's not anything fancy, but it's new. And I'm like, do I switch it? Right? Like, switch it? And, like, because this other one, I feel like it might be stretching a bit. And it's, you know, a one ear that he can't have over his ear because he doesn't like it over his ear. And so it's just behind. And I'm like, it could be dangerous. But I'm like, oh, my goodness. So, anyways, these are the things that, like, keep me awake at night, right?
No kidding.
Like, I don't want to change anything because he's working so well. And whatever happens this weekend happens. But it's kind of interesting because they're the two colts that I'm running right now aren't super staked.
Oh, okay.
Like, the geldings aren't super staked. And the horses here, like, before anything happens, like, a lot of them that have been doing so well on the top of the Canadian Futurity standings are not super staked.
Oh, really?
Like, Robin Hoover's is. But it's going to be really kind of a fun barrel race to watch.
Interesting race tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to be done today. And I can just, watch tomorrow, and it'll be fun.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I feel like
thank you so much for coming on. It did go really well. That's why we like to not have, like, too scripted, because it's, like, kind of just nice to have a conversation.
Yeah, and then we can just chat about what,
like,
friends.
Well, and you always get kind of nervous, right?
If it's too
for sure.
Set out in stone. No, it was great having you on. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your knowledge with us.
Are we doing the embarrassing thing?
Well, if you have any other embarrassing stories, your Big Bang one, that's a qualifier for sure.
Yeah. The one that I was thinking about was, I was in Kamloops and we were going to a barrel race there. So we were at the KRC, stalled at the KRC, but we were supposed to go over to the other barrel race that's, like, close by, actually. But I didn't know it was close by. And when I Googled it on my phone, it was, like, quite a ways. So I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And the lady that was parked beside us had, like, rented a truck because she didn't think her motorhome would get there.
Oh,
and
oh,
so, she, on
and
the
so
map,
I was thinking,
was
like, oh, this is, like, off-roading, right? Yeah, like, this is going to be Alberta barrel racing, right? Like, when you're up north. And so away we go, following the GPS, and we went up this mountain. Like, I had all the kids with me, Brian, we had the horses loaded, trailer. Like, a full deal. And we went up this mountain, like, for an hour because we couldn't turn around. And so we're like, oh, my goodness. And we're like, at this point, we can't turn around. So we have to go, like, over a cattle guard and, like, through a gate. And we just keep going and going. And now we have no service. So oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? So finally, I'm like, well, eventually we'll get to the top. Like, we can't back down this mountain.
No kidding.
So we get up to this, like, kind of homestead where these people are, like, and it's early in the morning. Like, it's 7 o'clock in the morning because I got to get there for time onlys. So these people are homesteading there. Like, they've got, like, solar panels and all these things set up, and chickens and goats, and they have these little kids. So this guy comes out and he's like, what are you guys doing? We're like, we're so lost. And we can't, our phones don't work. And he's like, oh, I have a booster, like come close to the house. But we totally woke the guy up and like his whole family. So then our kids are like playing in the shelter with the goats and their kids. And like everyone's right. Like as soon as you have kids, it's just a mess.
Turn around.
Yeah. So we get turned around and go back down. And I had to text Renee. I'm like, I don't know where we are. And oh my goodness. And then we, you know, drove on the highway and it's like full highway, right, like easy to get there. No big deal. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Anyways, don't always follow your GPS. No, just to a T. Yeah.
I would have been having major anxiety.
And I was like having a meltdown. And because Brian's like, what do you know?
What if you didn't come to an opening or something?
Yeah,
like,
no
oh my gosh.
I know.
And then no service. That makes it even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've always wanted to go down to a barrel race down there.
Oh, they have like great barrel racings down there. Yeah. I really wanted to go last weekend, but it's like the junkie in you, right? Because you're like, oh, my horses are on a roll. Like, I really need to go. There's lots of money up. And then I like, shake back to reality. Like, I have, you know, I have CBHI, and it's really important that we, you know, show the horses the best they can. They've been on the road for like 5 weeks straight.
Yeah.
You know, do they really need to go out there? And it just was like, you know, it worked out good. The kids needed me at home, and I needed to get some stuff done at home. So, but
it's like
a
10-hour drive to get down there?
No. So for Kamloops, it's like 7.
Yeah.
A Chilliwack's 11.
Yeah.
So, but that, and that was a super fun. Like, I go there every year. I love it there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Riley and Fame went there.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did great down there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, we get to watch Fame in the Super
Six. Yeah, they're doing so well. I love that horse. This morning we were talking about him. He's just so cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
He's a nice boy.
Mm-hmm. It'll be great when you get him back. Like,
I know. I'm going to ride. She's going to keep him for the winter, but I'm going to try and come ride with her.
Yeah, I think that's so smart, honestly, though. Like, because you knew that you wouldn't have time for him and you wouldn't get him to his potential.
Yeah.
And now when you get him back, he's going to be so solid for you and ready to go. And I really like appreciate smart owners and people that, you know, they really want the best for their horse, even though maybe for them and their feelings, it's not the best.
Yeah.
Like, always, you know, because, and I've been so fortunate to have such great owners and such great clients to work for. And so I feel like Riley probably really appreciates
you. Yeah, it probably makes a difference. Like, you know, and because I know some people,
everyone's like, are you going to take him back?
Yeah, I know. I've had so many people like, why aren't you riding him? I'm like, it's just not the time right now.
Yeah.
And
Riley's
doing good with him. But
and if you can ride your mare and like get her ready, then when you get her, you'll be ready.
Yeah.
Or when you get him
and
back.
And that's the thing. Like, I haven't done many competitive. I mean, I used my friend's horse a couple times. But, like, I'm just not in the game yet. So I'm thinking, I'll ride my mare. I'm really comfortable on her. Get back in shape. And then ride with Riley every once in a while. Because so Steph's going to come down, too, with Frenchman.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Thanks again for coming on. Yeah. And good luck the rest of this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, have an awesome CBHI.
Thank you.
Do you know our little tagline at the end? Can you take us out of this podcast, Brandy?
Get rich or ride trying.
Woo!